Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of Office Hours. Apologies, I'm a little bit late, just taking out some trash. All right, so it was the inauguration yesterday, and just waiting for people to trickle in. As they're doing so, I'll just remind everybody, do subscribe to my two brand new channels. Well, I say brand new, I acquired them, let's just say. You know, I did a few Vince McMahon moves, Ted DiBiase moves, and acquired two new channels, AA Gaming and AA Culture. All of my stuff is migrating over there. All my cultural content, my Friday videos, and all the old ones I did are being uploaded to there every day, 5 p.m., all the back catalog is moving over there, culture content. And eventually I'll probably start rerunning old episodes of Deepest Lore over there as well. And possibly even doing a few super edits. Like, for example, Dee and me did a huge multi-part series on Bowie, for example. Maybe I'll do a super cut where it's all in one video, stuff like that. And eventually, once all the old videos are up there, I'll start doing my Friday videos over on there. This move is essentially forced by YouTube, which in the current meta, if you make a video outside of your niche, my niche being politics and news and so on, the algo just crushes the video. So where my old, like my Mario video and my, I've got old videos, my Star Wars stuff, they used to take off. Now they get crushed because the formula, the algo formula says, oh, this is a channel that does politics. So, you know, we're not going to show this video even to his own subscribers, stuff like that. So that's why I've made this change. Subscribe to those. And also, my Foundations of Shakespeare course is out now. Buy it now. Lots of people have been doing it. And I can see that some people have progressed even to the third lecture. I saw somebody comment on the third lecture earlier. So some people are even making their way through. Being good to see lots of people picking that up. So buy it now. Also, again, as people are trickling in, I'll do a little bit of housekeeping here before I talk about Trump, and then we'll do the super thanks and the super chats and get out of here. I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, yes. I do have a bit of a guest appearance probably later this week, where I should be once again talking to the two Alexes at the Duran. I think we're going to be talking about British news, maybe Starmer, etc., and possibly a little bit of foreign stuff as well. We'll see how it goes. So, yeah. Hold on a second. I still notice somebody who's been banned so many times is now going to be banned again. It doesn't matter if you come back 100 times, mate. Every time you come back, you'll be banned again. You can keep on making your new accounts. You know, you're not going to... I will always notice, and I will always ban. Okay. Let's carry on. You have to be more subtle. Change your name. Change your style. Stop being degenerate. Okay, otherwise I'll just keep on banning you every time. All right. So... Let's talk about the inauguration. First of all, I want to go back, take a little trip down memory lane here. I'll go back over some of the things I said before, and then we're going to fast forward to what happened yesterday at the inauguration, what was said in Trump's speech, etc. So let me just share my screen here, and we're just going to go through a bit of a greatest hits. Okay, so over on Forbidden Text, where I kind of crystallize ideas once they're crystallized, back in May 2023, I wrote this essay, MAGA as the Fulfillment of the Kali Yuga. And I wrote here, after all, MAGA is probably the most generally non-racist, pro-black, pro-LGBT, easygoing and true 90s liberal movement ever to exist, aside from possibly the British Tory Party since Boris Johnson. We have won our country back, cry a right wing, led exclusively by people like Carrie Lake and Caitlyn Jenner, as a black Zoomer in the MAGA hat posts a video of himself drinking Coca-Cola to a Libs of TikTok video to 100,000 likes on Twitter. This is really what MAGA is in its core essence. Jerry Springer recently passed away, but his real legacy was MAGA. Right? Now, remember, I wrote that about a year, 2 years ago, well, coming up to 2 years ago now. And I think as time has progressed, the trueness of that has started to be seen. Again, every single time I say things like this, people rage and they cope and so on, but it's true. And basically, ideas, the essence of that was reiterated again yesterday. Then, if you remember, more famous essay probably, Putting the Woke Away, June 2023, I wrote, all of this is happening. I was, even back then, there were signs that the woke was going to be put away. Now it has conclusively been put away, like down to the level of the ADL declaring that Elon Musk is not throwing Nazi salutes. DEI just being dismantled across the board. Like, it's happening, okay? It's just a fact. So I wrote back then, all of this seems to suggest that it is proverbially happening. Seems to me that the regime are gearing up for a second Trump presidency and have made peace with the idea that, after all, the orange man is just a boomer who can be brought in and won't be a fascist dictator. They also seem to have ditched Joe Biden for reasons that are not entirely clear to me, beyond just facing the obvious facts of the situation. As things stand in the USA, the Blair strategy, which would be Democrats flanking the GOP from the right, just isn't going to work, since the Democrats are very far gone. The best they can hope to do is field their own populace, let's say Robert Kennedy Jr., but I do not think this will happen. It seems to me that the Republicans are now looking likely Trump rather than DeSantis will be the ones bringing the woke away. But remember that it is in the name of containment and maintaining their own power. The counter argument is, well, why would they just do that when they can pull the same stuff they did in 2020? The trouble is, all that stuff massively fueled serious and increasingly organized opposition to them. And in the long run, that means overthrow for any regime, especially if they are not prepared to use real force. And these foxes are not. They always behave in a hysterical and scared way, not in a strong, assured way. And on the face of it, this looks like a huge victory for us. Many will see it that way. Many more will stop paying attention and go back to their old lives, thinking that the job is done. You can see why this is their smartest play. June 2023. We're now in January 2025. If you don't think this is exactly what happened, just get out of this chat. I am not interested in hearing your bullshit anymore. Just get out. That is exactly what happened. It was accelerated by October the 7th. Put it on a much more accelerated timeline than it may have been otherwise, but like, it happened, okay? It happened. Cheeto Hitler was welcomed by Joe Biden. Welcome home, says Joe. Oh, he's cool. Oh, absolutely cool. Oh, we worked a great angle there, me and you. It was a great few, wasn't it, Don? But like all that stuff about calling you Hitler for the past 10 years, oh, forget about it. Just forget it. Oh, it was just cool with it. Democracy is under threat. Only now, Bill Gates is impressed and excited to work with Donald Trump. And Bill Gates, Mr. NWO himself. Oh, no, we're all just cool with it. We're all just cool with it. But, you know, the vibes. Then, later, I wrote an essay called The Rufo Reich and Mecca Bentham, where I outlined how the dream of Elon Musk and Chris Rufo will be to try to get rid of identity politics and return to Fresh Prince using new digital technologies, the Mecca Bentham part, and retrenching the civil rights regime that reigned in the 80s and the 90s. But it just so happened that yesterday's inauguration happened on Martin Luther King Day, who got plenty of shout-outs by Donald Trump himself. Because real liberalism's never been tried. But now MAGA is going to make real liberalism once again. Exactly as I said. I wrote another essay called On Moral Unity and Regime Legitimacy. I said the social and moral consensus that held sway in, say, 2012 has by this point now almost totally broken down. On the right, lingering doubts about the legitimacy of Biden, the aftermath of BLM, and the mysterious disappearance of COVID mandates with the advent of the Ukraine war and the unprecedented obscene levels of immigration since COVID have created an atmosphere in which long-standing taboos no longer matter to anyone but the crustiest of establishments. On the left, the issue of Israel has loomed larger, but many authentic leftists feel betrayed by the regime on a host of issues, not least their perceived abandonment of socialism for neoliberalism. All these issues have coalesced to discredit the established center, which has never looked more tenuous or fragile than it does today. Regime lackeys are now openly despised and must be aware of the extent to which they are hated. Some seem to engage in an almost nihilistic and sadistic glee in clinging on to petty officialdom, but this is generally unhealthy for a social order, as there is now an almost complete break between the values and moral visions of the rulers and those they rule over. In this short article, I wish to revisit Mosca's comments on the importance of moral unity to regime stability. My view remains that unless the establishment can come to its senses, enact by containment plan, throwing the work away, etc., and essentially co-opt and normalize populist sentiment, there is a very serious risk of widespread civil unrest. Well, I'm not saying that these bozos read my stuff, but it's basically what they've done, isn't it? It's basically exactly what they've done. It's what the regime has done, exactly what it needed to do to bring people back in. Now, we don't really care. Oh, let bygones be bygones, Zuckerberg, Gates. It doesn't matter because we're about to enter a golden age, remember? All you need to do is have a memory. Let's carry on. When the assassination attempt happened, everybody was screaming about impending civil war. I wrote this article, July the 15th, 2024. This is the regime's off-ramp to dial down the heat and flip the script from collision course to unity. In Donald Trump's speech yesterday at his inauguration, he said explicitly, "I am going to be a unity president and a peacemaker." Exact phrase. With Uncle Joe Biden shaking hands with him, right? Since basically everyone had the first two reactions, here I will outline the third, especially given that it has received substantial and sustained pushback from the people who have an emotional investment in, and perhaps even financial incentive for, the collision course narrative. Collision course is essentially the view of Tim Pool, which despite the fact that he is frequently mocked for his dramatic cries of an impending civil war, is shared by many people, including many of you. In this narrative, the left is too far gone, cannot be controlled, hates the country and at every turn will escalate and fight rather than moderate for the sake of social cohesion. This is the worldview embodied by boomer Charles Hayward, but it is shared very widely, especially by those who feed at the trough of slop on nothing but a steady diet of libs of TikTok and end wokeness clips. Let us call this part of social media the slop. I recommend you filter out big slop accounts who frequently distort what is happening, share old clips as if they had just happened, and focus your gaze on small outliers such as the media would focus on white on black crime. These accounts are good propagandists, but they are doing politics, not value-free analysis. The regime did dial down the heat. Trump is a unity candidate. BLM and Antifa didn't turn up, did they, Charles? There were no riots, were there? Tim. So who was right? Now you're all calling me a retard. The one person who called it correctly. Me and a couple of other people. They know who they are. Next. November the 4th, 2024. Regime wanted Trump. Kamala Harris was a jobber. All the stuff I just said, reiterated. Every step of the way. And yet still. Still, you cling on to your hopes and dreams and believe this is not what has happened. It's incredible. It really is incredible. Here's Bill Gates. The regime wanted Trump. Here's Joe Biden. Welcome home, Don. Yeah, forget about it. You're not Hitler after all. Here was Elon Musk retweeting Tim Cook. Dr. King said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. True greatness lies in lifting others, making a difference, and serving with purpose. Let's honor his legacy by finding ways to serve and create a better world together. MLK Day. Retweeted by Elon Musk. I said, I like my Fresh Prince served with apples and con artists. So what I'll do is during the inauguration, I live tweeted kind of some thoughts I had while I was watching. And I thought I'll scroll through them and give a kind of annotated kind of guide to, you know, the inauguration through my own tweets. Okay. Baron Trump should be a pro wrestler. Yeah, he's a unit. He is Baron is not only big, but he's filling out as well. He's becoming like, I don't know, I think he could have a decent run as a pro wrestler. It would be a fantastic training ground to become a politician, wouldn't it? As so many wrestlers have later entered politics, like Kane or, you know, Linda McMahon, for example. I also noticed that Vivek was posting pictures of himself with Elon Musk. Elon hasn't posted a picture of them together. Shades of Brutus Beefcake clinging to Hulk Hogan, perhaps X-Pac in any faction. So that was very noticeable that Vivek was so subdued. And we've since found out that he's out of Doge. Elon got rid of him. And we'll talk more about that situation in a moment. Vance was there with his Indian wife, of course. Make America Indian again. I mean, on the Vance front, you know, there's a certain type of like really fake discourse that goes around Twitter at the moment. And it looks like this. It looks like this. Everything about this is like fake and gay. But doesn't stop you lot lapping it up, does it? I said, watching Trump reminds me of when the WWE made Daniel Bryan champ because the fans loved Daniel Bryan. But Vince was like, nah, he's too small. My guy is Roman Reigns or some other dude he wanted to push. And the fans and the smart fans were like, no, you have to meet Brian. Finally, Vince gave in, much like the regime has given in now. And no, he's right. Now your champ is Daniel Bryan. And all of a sudden, what was once organic and was once kind of exciting, kind of had like, oh, well, now Vince wants it. Now the WWE want you to cheer for this guy. They want you to put your finger up and scream, yes, yes, yes. They've given you the thing you wanted. And it wasn't as good as what they'd hoped for. It's funny, really. This is a good whiskey, by the way. As Dickie Spence saying, there's few things he loathes more than our democracy claptrap. Hey, Dickie. Eric Trump was there. Keeping on going with my WWE comparisons. Do you remember when Bret and Owen would like bring out like their other brother sometimes? Oh, here's Bruce Hart. Who? Oh, yeah, that was a little bit like seeing Eric Trump. You don't see him. You see Don Jr. a lot, and you see Baron, but Eric? I said, imagine Trump goes full Palpatine right now. That would have been amazing, wouldn't it? And frankly, as we'll talk about in a little moment, that is basically what Trump needs to do if he's going to get anywhere with this agenda of his. He needs to tame the Senate, as Palpatine did, as Mussolini did. Is he going to do that? Well, we'll see. I said the tone and tenor of the speech is to get Americans to buy back in to the institutions, to the system, and to save our democracy, which is what this American system needed to do to self-correct. And it will work. It has worked. It has worked. Now, shills think that if you call it the regime, it's a conspiracy theory. Now, shills who were skeptical about democracy 4 years ago suddenly think it works again. Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg was a red pill, guys. Vibe shift. There's been such a vibe shift that Bill Gates is like, oh, forget about all the evil shit I've been doing over the past 10 years. Now I'm all in on Trump. Forget about the fact I gave millions of dollars to every cause that you hate. Now we're cool. Vibe shift. It's been a vibe shift. We red-pilled the Senate, guys. Marco Rubio woke up and he was like, yeah, I'm based now. Vibe shift. It's been a vibe shift. During his speech, Trump thanked blacks and Hispanics and Asians, as he did continually on the campaign trail as well. And he thanked Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the patron saint of America, the one true sainted figure in American history. Who's, you know, like there's God and then there's Martin Luther King Jr. You know, and it's hard to say who's number one between those two. And then most of the base just waiting for their shouts out. Didn't come. And again, some of the responses to that tweet. Suggesting that, if Trump had acknowledged the white voter, this is tantamount to white supremacy or white nationalism. Just to acknowledge it. Is it? Really? Let's carry on. I enjoyed the bit where he wanted to revoke the green crap. That was good. And I said, Trump, we will revoke the electric vehicle mandate. Well, Elon Musk is like the world's number one electric vehicle producer. Many people, libertarians, pointed out that this is actually a classic regulatory capture. Musk is the number one. Tesla is the number one producer. So basically that's pulling up the drawbridge. That is good for Musk and bad for his competitors. So it's actually good for Tesla that he's done that. So I'm told. Plenty of back to Fresh Prince memes. One for the old unpopular opinions fans. I got so many notifications when this happened. When Trump talked about Merritt, where is he? Where's old Kermit?
Merritt, pure merit, such merit, merit, such merit, merit.
We got the whole, you know, this is the Rufo Reich bit. We got a merit out of Trump, which was good. We got the goofy little colonized Mars moment. One of the most interesting things for me is that Trump didn't mention Israel during the speech. Everybody noted this. And he didn't mention Britain either. He didn't mention Europe. He didn't mention Ukraine. He didn't mention Russia. He did mention the Panama Canal and China. And he talked about making the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America as well. And he didn't mention Canada either. People mentioned, which was interesting. Then I had to go and make a mushroom risotto, which was nice. So basically, moments after I made that tweet about him not mentioning Israel, apparently a rabbi came on and led a prayer or something. So yet again, I had hundreds of notifications saying, "You missed the rabbi, AA. You missed the rabbi." So anyway, plenty of things to talk about here. Of course, there was the moment that Baron Trump was looking kind of regal, and he did the Hulk Hogan ear cup. The ear cup. Let's see if we can find it. So there it is. There's classic Hulk Hogan move. He does look kind of like a prince or something, doesn't he? Which is interesting. And then we got the Elon Musk salute, which sent the left into a tizzy. And I just hypothesized that Elon Musk, the emo kid, took being hazed by Sam Hyde very hard and has been trying everything to be loved again using Billy Mitchell tactics, not Billy Mitchell from EastEnders, Barry. All right. I'm talking about another Billy Mitchell who cheated famously at Donkey Kong. All right. Billy at the back. All right. It's a different Billy Mitchell. Anyway, he's been using Billy Mitchell tactics of video games, going tilt on the grooming gangs and throwing Romans. He just wants to be loved by the gamers. I'll talk more about the Romans in a second, the Roman salute in a second. I actually think that this picture of Elon Musk here tells us a lot about who he really is. That's Elon Musk there. And he just wants to be loved. Just wants to be loved. And he gets it, to be fair. Like, being the world's richest, like I said, he's like I mentioned Ted DiBiase or Vince. He kind of reminds me of that. When you're a very rich guy, you can kind of get what you want. And he'll get the suck-ups as well. It works. There was a guy who had a fantastic clip here.
For what you believe in, until and unless logic and experience prove you wrong. Remember, when the emperor looks naked, the emperor is naked. The truth and a lie are not sort of the same thing. And there's no aspect, no facet, no moment of life that can't be improved with pizza. Thank you.
So that was Daria. I enjoyed that clip. All right. So that was kind of like a speed run. Took me 20 minutes, half an hour. But that was basically a speed run. I've got a video coming out tomorrow that I recorded before the inauguration. That video talks about the executive orders, and it talks about it's called Five Ways to Navigate the Unbearable Noise of the Coming Trump Era, because it's going to be unbearable, right? Unless you're unless you're like on the steam train, it's going to get really fucking tiresome. Okay. But anyway, one of the things I do talk about in that video, and you can watch that You can watch that kind of in your, well, you can watch that when it comes out. But one of the things I talk about there is that the executive order business is kind of a mirage, right? It's kind of a mirage because if you look at it, this business of passing a shitload of executive orders in the first week has become standard business for American presidents, right? And a ton of the executive orders that Trump has signed is just undoing stuff that Biden has done, right? Like reversing stuff Biden did. Biden did the same. Biden, when he became the president, undid a shit ton of stuff that Trump signed, okay? Now, the thing about an executive order is that it can just be undone by the next president, right? So there's no way really to... that's not lasting change. An executive order is puffery. It's puffery, okay? Now, I will admit that a couple of those executive orders that Trump signed are based, okay? The most based one is on birthright to citizenship. And it was even suggested by some people that it can be applied retroactively, although there is some debate as to whether that is the case or not. Some leftists are claiming that it was designed to revoke Kamala Harris's citizenship, which would be hilarious if true. But the problem is that that executive order, it's just going to be struck down in a federal, whether it's a federal judge, district court, or later Supreme Court, they're going to say it's unconstitutional. They're going to say that if you want to make a change like this, it has to be sent to Congress, right? Congress and the Senate. Now, even though the Republicans have majorities in those, in both of those houses, is it going to happen? I mean, I don't know. Has the swamp changed? Has the swamp, because of the vibe shift, has the swamp changed? Something caught my eye. The Senate confirmed Marco Rubio with a 99-0 vote. All right. No problem with Marco Rubio then. The swamp approves of Marco Rubio. 99-0. Brilliant. So this Senate that confirms Rubio with a 99-0 vote, are they going to change the law to make birthright citizenship illegal? I'm going to pull a vote. I'm going to put a vote, right? Let me see. Get a vibe check on the chat. Will the Senate vote to change birthright citizenship law? Yes, no. Because the fact is, every single person around Donald Trump, one of whom is Marco Rubio, let's not forget, knows this. So is it a real change, or is it just something to give you a dopamine hit for a couple of days? Is it a real serious piece of legislation that has been thought through? You know, my base Stephen Miller and all that, have they got a game plan here? Or is it just going to be struck down by the courts? I even saw that Doge, Elon Musk's temporary new apartment, was immediately sued by some union or other, some federal union. I mean, there would be a way, I would suggest, that Trump could deal with all of this, which would be, a la Palpatine, to declare emergency powers, national state of emergency. He did it for the southern border, but he could do it. He could just invoke Schmittian exception. We are in a state of exception because the country is going shit. I want to start a new golden age, but the rot is deep and it's a national emergency. Therefore, using emergency powers in the power vested in the president under blah, 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 I get to do all of this and bypass the normal run of play. Or he can relentlessly discipline the Senate. I noted that neither Palpatine nor Mussolini actually dissolved the Senate while they were in power. I think the Senate was actually dissolved in the middle of New Hope. On the Death Star, it is mentioned at some point that the Emperor's just dissolved the Senate, okay? Well, that was like 20-odd years later after the Empire had already been established, okay? But for 20 years, the Senate was still there. Mussolini, who, don't forget, also had the king to, you know, theoretically to answer to, never dissolved the Senate. Mosca, who I mentioned, who I quoted earlier on, Giuliano Mosca, sat in the Italian Senate as a liberal, during fascist Italy, during Mussolini's time in power. And Mosca was pretty outspoken against El Duce, funny enough. It was, you know, of the three Italian elite theorists, Michels and Pareto supported Mussolini, and Mosca did not, interestingly, right? But yeah, he sat in the Senate, and he died in the Senate as well. So we can have like a tamed Senate, or a Senate that is supine in some way, which is what Mussolini had. It's like, well, you can sit in the Senate, but you're still going to do as I say. You're not going to pull shenanigans and bullshit to stop what I want to do, what the American people voted for. Okay, now if Trump was serious, if Trump was like proper Caesar, that's what he'd do. Is he that? I think he already showed us. Back in 2020, he already showed us that he's not going to do that. It's yet again going to be my republic, my constitution, my founding fathers, my checks and balances, it's the American way, blah, 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 our democracy. So you're not going to get any of these base things, that kind of, you know, based porn display that's being put on, because it's just going to, you know, in the long run, in a few weeks, you know, when everybody comes back down to reality, it's all going to get struck down. So anyway, at least you felt good for a day, yeah? Anyway, I think that's enough. Is there anything else to say? I think so. All right, let's hit the super chats. And there's also super thanks. Maybe because of the topicality of the thing, I'll hit the super chats first today, and I'll do the super thanks afterwards, because these are all going to be about the inauguration, so I might as well hit them right now, okay? Port Film Co-op says, I think it would be good to continue monitoring and commenting on the starkly different Devon Stack and Pete Quinones positions, particularly as time passes and the results start coming in. Well, we could do that, but let's not forget that some of Pete Q's best buddies predicted simultaneously that the global economy is going to crash in 2025 and that we're about to enter a golden age. And I've yet to see anybody try to like square that circle. Right, so the global economy, which rests on the dollar, is going to collapse in the next year. But also we're about to enter a golden age. Huh. Funny. Weird. It's like at least one of those things isn't going to happen. So let's just pretend we're all in on the golden age. I mean, what's changed? Trump has become the president, but what else has changed? The fundamentals are just exactly the same. And, I mean, some of the things that Trump wants to do don't make a lot of economic sense, if I'm honest. He wants to reduce inflation by increasing tariffs. Well, you know, economics 101 is you put up tariffs and prices are going to go up because foreign goods are more expensive. So he can use like economic nationalism, I guess, to encourage American manufacturing, which could theoretically bring prices down. He talked about drilling, right? Drill, baby, drill, and oil. But like, how much oil are the Americans going to have to pump in to the system in order to bring like prices down? Maybe. I mean, oil does underlie a lot of things. So they could. Americans could, drill so much that they crash the global oil price. But then if the price of oil comes down too much, you're then going to have other problems, right? So it's like, well, you know, I'm sure there's clever people thinking about all of these things, but, you know, it kind of... And then the other thing about Trump is that I remember even back in 2016, he was all in on money printing. He's like, we can just print our way, increase the debt. I think the American debt grew massively under Trump by like $8 billion or $8 trillion. I can't remember. It was a huge amount of money that was printed under Trump one. Okay. Now, granted, part of that was COVID and Trump bucks. Yeah. Remember the Trump bucks? Part of that was that. Okay. But like, that's his mindset, basically, that he's going to like use modern monetary theory and money printing combined with tariffs and, punitively trying to force foreign governments or foreign companies to buy American stuff. I mean, could it work? We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, prices had been coming down already under Biden. And there's an argument to say that when it comes to the economy, it's kind of like, well, it doesn't really matter who the president is, really, when it comes to that. But his stated plan to bring down inflation, at least on the face of it, doesn't pass the sniff test. So we'll see what happens. I don't want to make predictions anymore, but like, let's say there's three iron laws, right? Three iron laws. The iron law of oligarchy, that's one. A second one might be, the constrained vision of man, something like that. But the third one is that basically everybody always doubles down. Nobody ever learns anything. And cognitive dissonance always rules the day. So my prediction would be that in a year's time, both of those people think exactly the same thing that they do now. Nobody ever changes. So, make your pick, take your choice. But I've certainly seen enough to know who I think is right out of those two. Coney says, do you think Starmer might be replaced by Wes Streeting? He's spoken at the Tony Blair Institute and is listed on its website. Is he the backstop in case his poor relationship with Trump proves too difficult for Tone? It's hard to say, but Starmer has already said that he intends to stay for 10 years. And as far as I can see, as per my video earlier on, he's doing the Blair stuff already. Starmer is. So maybe Tone is all right with him. Like I said in that video, if the American situation worsens to the point where it's intolerable for the powers that be here, they'll get rid of Starmer. Whether it'll be Streeting or not, I don't know. It's hard to say. Honestly, I reckon they might even give Chip Shop Debs a run. She's got the common touch, Angela, They could, I don't know, she's got meme potential, Angela Rayner. I remember when she went to Ibiza and, the Tories were laying into her for that, but actually kind of played quite well with a lot of people, Chip Chop Debs in Ibiza. So, talk about Kali Yuga. Imagine we get Prime Minister Rayner. Goni says, do you think Iran would leave OPEC to saddle up to Russia, coordinating international gas prices together? It's possible. It's possible, but we will see, because Trump is all about American energy, gas and oil. And so it's hard to know what's going to happen, because Russia and Iran's ability to, if you think the West under the green crap has been playing almost like with one hand tied behind its back, like nerfed, like America under Biden was nerfed because of the green bullshit. Well, if Trump is going to undo that, America could be a lot more kind of tough for powers like Russia and Iran to deal with if Trump wants to go toe-to-toe with an energy price war, right? I mean, let's just pretend like they literally, America just decides to undercut Russia around the world. He's already talked about forcing Europe to buy American energy. So it will be interesting, to say the least. It also interesting is that the net result of all of that could mean that Saudi Arabia stops being such an important player. Saudi Arabia has kind of been a bottleneck in world, global, international relations up until very recently. Well, if America and Russia are going to be like the true energy players now, you know, in a Cold War 2.0, Saudi Arabia becomes less significant, as it was in the 60s and the 70s. Less significant. So we'll see. Coney says, questions for Canadians like Black Horse and Endeavour. Is Justin Trudeau being cycled out whilst the Liberal Party is kept in power with Carney at the helm, i.e. the Laurentian elite staying in control? Well, Black Horse and Endeavour will have to answer that. Given that they're not here, I will not be able to answer it. He also says, or will the Western provinces elites take control with Pierre Poilievre and the Canadian Tories, especially considering Trump's tariff threat? For people who don't know, Carney was the governor of the Bank of England. Well, Carney is like a carbon cutout globalist twat, isn't he? So, I mean, as far as I can see, the Liberals are done in Canada, if you look at their ratings. Captain Smith says, Starmer called us misfits watching this stream, trying to own Southport. It's too big of a domestic issue to bury under any Trump news. Yeah, I noticed that. It's, the fact that the authorities knew about the Southport killer beforehand, the counterterrorism unit knew, his psychological profile was known, and they try to cover it up as per Farage. And now Starmer's come out with, it may be that this is a new type of terrorism with disturbed young men and loners and losers and incels and so on. He's tried to spin it into that. And it may be that it's more difficult to find these people when they knew who this guy was. I mean, that is some pretty big bullshit from Starmer. So let's all hope that this brings him down. Let's hope it brings him down. What needs to happen for Starmer to go is for the narrative to migrate from the Telegraph to the BBC and the Times. The newspaper of record, the Times, and obviously the BBC. If it reaches, or Sky News or any of these kind of more centrally, Telegraph is pretty regime, but it's Tory, right? It's a Tory outlet. It needs to hit the centre ground for it to be a genuine problem for Starmer. I noticed the BBC's framing of it was very neutral and was not tying Starmer personally to what happened. And he's called a public inquiry, hasn't he, into what happened. So, yeah, he's on dicey ground. Laws of Lycurgus says Trump has to deliver or they lose 30 to 45% forever. Does he have to deliver, though? Why does he have to deliver? He can just do symbolic gestures and coast on vibes. I don't see any evidence that he has to deliver. He can just frame it in such a way that it's vibes. Changing my mind. Okay. Oh, my entropy stopped. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? Okay, I've restarted it now. Yiz. Hello, Yiz. Yiz says, on America's golden age, I lean due to reality and skepticism, but remain hopeful that positive change could happen. Many of us are pushing, so perhaps that will matter in the wake. I think we will all need to keep doing what we do and never lose hope. The future is ours if we want to, if we won't give up, keep heart. Yes. My only word of caution would be, if you invest all your time and energy into Trump stuff, you may find that you've ended up like wasting 4 years of energy to a project that actually doesn't have your interests in mind at heart. If you understand what I mean, like you could just be getting tricked at the end of the day. And one of the things I worry about from your point of view, Yiz, is this. In fact, I made a tweet about it earlier. I said, let me just find it. Let me see if I can find it a second. I said, the American Imperium needs, where is this? The American Imperium needs everyone to get along, right? And when I say everyone, I mean all the different races, all the different groups in America, the blacks, the Hispanics, the whites, they need to get along, which means the right needs to stop being racist, which means you're going to get more kumbaya, Martin Luther King bullshit until this is accepted. You're going to have people like Chris Rufo and James Lindsay and even Elon Musk at some point. They're going to be like, no, you have to stop being racist, guys. The kumbaya, you've got to hold hands. Say a few prayers, hold hands. And we're all going to get along for Team America. Are you ready to do that for the love of your country? Because that's what is going to happen. Why? This is the logic of all empires ever. Every empire ever has to have a universalizing creed that brings everybody together as a citizen of the empire. This is also what ends up destroying empires. Prophets of Doom, remember? Spengler, Glubb. Oh, this fucking cringe now to talk about. Don't talk about Spengler and Glubb. That's cringe now. Talking about Evola and Spengler and Glubb, that's cringe because of my vibes. Because what's going to happen is we're going to defy the laws of history. We're going to defy the shape of every empire ever and just simply declare there's going to be a golden age. Get ready to sing Kumbaya. Yes, that's all I got to say to you. Get ready. What else have we got? Revenue. Yiz says, I agree. I don't invest in Trump or MAGA or other big tent movements. My encouragement is for us to keep doing the small stuff, the organizing, pressuring, not the Trump MAGA stuff will save us. Yeah, maybe. But I would suggest that the Trump MAGA stuff is a massive time sink for everybody. And I've already seen it basically blow a hole in what was. You can watch my other videos from earlier this week, why the regime doesn't need to censor anymore. My video tomorrow that will come out on how to navigate the noise. But frankly, that's not going to work for most of you because I don't know if you noticed, Yiz, but most of your friends are fully paid up members of the GOP. They're just Republicans with their allegiance to that party, to the success of that party, whether they know it or not. That happened. So Let's carry on. Sam Harris says, I voted for Fresh Prince. I voted for Fresh Prince. Definitely improvement over the last 10 years. But the new counter-elite ultimately is self-serving. Woke had to burn out, but at some point, though. Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing. Fresh Prince, as I've said so many times, worked. Fresh Prince was an effective political formula. Fresh Prince is what people want. The 90s is what people want. Now, you've still got all the problems of the country, but the little box in the corner is telling you that things are all right and that you're loved and that your government loves you. So you'll love them. It's better, right? From a ruling class point of view, it's better than woke. Woke was terrible as an ideology. Fresh Prince is not. I lived through it. I know it worked. Everybody believed in Fresh Prince. Everybody still believed in Fresh Prince, apart from a very small number of people who, due to various effects on the internet, think that more people think like them than they really do. Actually, they don't. They're still a very tiny minority of people. So most people are still in the Fresh Prince mode. That's why MAGA, as I've said so many times, represents the median voter of America. But what the median voter wants is Fresh Prince. And, better than woke, right? Better than woke. But also, because of that, it's more effective. And it will mean that the powers that be stay as the powers that be. And the trajectory of things in the long run will stay the same. That's just what is. It's what has happened. Okay, what else? Let's have a look. There's a few more. Laws of Lycurgus says, incoming hordes coming fall of 2025. Well, I don't want to make any predictions. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think that Trump, in his own mind, has got lots of good intentions. But what I fear is that I've just seen a lot of signs that the lessons that have supposedly have been learned have not actually been learned. Like, what is the actual plan? Still can't stop thinking about what happened with Matt Gaetz. So there's that. I mean, there are some things that I think are tentatively positive, right? Trump seems very, very keen on this new kind of more regional isolationist America. That could actually be good for the rest of the world. It could end up being good for Europe. Okay, now our pathetic supine leaders in Europe, the likes of Starmer and EU lot, I've got this idea that it's good for America to like bankroll the security, and you know, it's good the more of the Americans kind of smother blanket comes over, the better it is for everybody. I have the opposite view. I have the view that the more America leaves Europe to itself and to defend itself and so on, the better chance of Europe finding its balls again, coming back as Europe. There is. That's my view. I don't believe this idea that the people who conquered the entire world, the Europeans, have, like, in a couple of generations just become, like, you know, clapped out, suddenly become tired, as Douglas Murray put it, right? Not sure about that. I feel that at some point Europe can re-enter world history. It's kind of been out of world history for a while. One caveat I want to put to one side, though, is that while that is true of most of the European powers, it is not true of Britain. Britain, unfortunately, since World War II, has decided to be the poodle, the lapdog, the plucky sidekick, the cheerleader of America in the world, and America's point man in Europe. That means that Britain, unlike the other European powers, has not really had a time out since World War II. It is like there hasn't been a single war that Britain wasn't up for, right? Even on Ukraine, Starmer's just like pledged 100 years of fucking pledge to Ukraine, you know, as he's slashing the welfare, he's also pledging billions to Ukraine. Britain, I think, needs a timeout. And on this, I actually support something Morgoth has said, which is for Britain to just become a bit of a backwater for a while, to really take a timeout for the first time, really since, if you think about it, like pre-Tudor times. Britain needs a timeout. It's had a lot. Toynbee talks about countries having timeouts for a while. Britain needs a timeout. But the rest of Europe, I think, has had a timeout and needs to come back. So that's something I can foresee happening in the future. Who knows, though? Who knows? But if America really genuinely does withdraw into itself a bit more, the likelihood of that happening actually increases. So it's actually good. So that's the one positive thing I see happening. Sebasticus Autisticus says, look at how it went in South Korea last month. Yeah, that was a shit show, wasn't it? PS says, part of the reason that the woke had to be put away, part of the reason that the woke had to be put away is because of AI. Woke and its acolytes were literally making AI stupid. Millions of computer hours and billions burned. The tech guys have had enough. Yeah, that's very interesting. I also noticed that Tony Blair was coming out and saying, like, we need to stop with we need to stop people self-diagnosing mental health issues. We need to put all this mental health crap away. That was really interesting that Blair was coming out swinging against that. But what was his rationale? What was his reason? It's costing the system too much money. It's gumming up. It's gumming up the system's competence, etc. So, yeah, very interesting. TP says, do you think the Greater Israel could be a stable regional empire? Their mode isn't very Roman or British, and it has a very large Islamic population. If Israel manages to become a regional empire, it would be against the run of play in all of history, I would suggest. Because Israel is kind of like a colonial outpost. So it's like saying it's a colonial outpost. So I don't really see it. I don't really see how, Israel requires at all times to be propped up by America. So without that help, it would just be sworn by its enemies, wouldn't it? I mean, that's just obvious. So I don't see Israel standing on its own two feet. Can America indefinitely prop it up? Maybe. Cringe Walker wrote a very interesting essay suggesting that some people in America are cutting their losses with that because there's a small window. And, you know, as the generations get further away from the boomers, they care less and less about this as Israel as a project. That's interesting. Me, I don't know. I have no idea how it's going to go. Like I said, there's many weird things that can happen. Like a regime change in Iran would be a massive game changer overnight in the Middle East. So who knows? They're going to try to normalize Israel more, though. Can it happen? Definitely more difficult now than it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. UTIS 4321 says, you can't change the government with changing the people. The same people, the same government. no matter what words are used. So I think you meant you can't change the government without changing the people. Look, if the GOP is still Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and all these people, you know who they are. Lindsey Graham's still there. They're still the same swamp. Same people. Iron law of oligarchy. Even down to like the personnel. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, like these are all the same people. They've just switched horses, like I've talked about many times. That doesn't mean, however, that Trump's America is not going to be better to live in than Biden's. It probably will be. Probably will be more comfortable to live in. But also, as a result of that, it means that the regime wins. You see how this works? Law of Lycurgus says, once Trump is gone, the sheep will need a shepherd. Well, I tell you, I have my doubts whether J.D. Vance can be that guy, right? I feel like he does not have the connection with the base that Trump has, and that attempts of various fake online personalities to make Vance into some like based figure that we can get excited for have largely not worked. And I also noticed that as Elon Musk has been more and more prominent, Vance has kind of been like a bit sidelined. Have you noticed that? He's kind of a bit sidelined as a personality, as a figure. So it does seem like Vance may not be the guy. Honestly, like in terms of successor, I think the person that obviously 2028 will be too soon, but it's Barron, isn't it? Barron is the chosen one. Barron is the one that people would go wild for. I mean, we don't even know if Barron can talk, right? I've never heard him speak, but he just looks cool. And he's got like he's got that meme thing. He's got, what do they call it in pro wrestling? Like an X factor, okay? Vance hasn't got that. Vance is a technician, a Dean Malenko. He's like another Ron DeSantis. He's not going to get people excited like Trump does. So that's going to be a tricky one for the post-Trump question. Who's the successor? I'm not feeling Vance. I'm not feeling Vance personally, but, you know. I mean, one of the worst things about Vance, and I thought this while I was watching the inauguration stuff as well, is that he looks like he's wearing lots of makeup. He just looks like he's wearing makeup, and I just don't get that. I don't get why. It's just weird. Very, very strange. TP says, would you consider a stream with Dan where he goes through 9/11 with you? Well, not on this channel. I'm not talking about that stuff on here. I mean, nah, not really. I mean, I know, like, I've seen the stuff. I've been on the internet a long time. I know the arguments. I know it. I know the whole theory, but I've got no. I mean, the thing is that everything that people point to can be explained by the fact that what happened may have been fortuitous for some people and their particular ends, right? That doesn't necessarily mean they were the ones what done it, right? And this is always the problem. So you cannot, even though it looks good for certain people, you cannot prove it. Like I always said that the pandemic was a godsend, wasn't it, for the regime, coming along when it did, when you just had Boris Johnson coming in on a wave of populist energy, Trump was the president and the economy was going wild, populists were rising all across Europe, and then poof, COVID just wrecked it all almost overnight. And it bought the regime 4 more years, basically. It bought them a lot of stuff. kill Johnson's program here, kind of killed Trump's economy, you know, gave, let's say, the circumstances to bring Biden into power, you know, helped out in France and every other country. Very, very convenient for the powers that be. But can you prove that anything beyond that? Not really. You can just say, well, they reacted to circumstances well. And this is one of the issues, really, which is that when you're the power, you have agency in a way that, and you have levers to pull in a way that people without power do not. Right? You've got, so Trump, if he's really, really serious about fighting the system, and I have my doubts as to whether he is, I think he's part of the system at this point personally, but if he's really serious about it, every single day he needs to be pulling those levers to ensure that what he sets up is lasting. Robert Conquest's second law, for example. Is he going to do it? I've got really serious reservations. Why? Because it's going to be people like Chris Rufo running the show. And you know what he is. You know what he's about. You know what these people are. So, you know, you're not going to get the based world. You're going to get Fresh Prince world. It's just what it is, you know. Let's carry on. Redacted Brainwave says, all I want is for Trump to give the rest of the world some shock therapy. Nature must heal. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see that. One of the things I was very disappointed by was Trump nixing the TikTok ban. Thought that was a shame. Why did I think it was a shame? Because TikTok being banned would have been something happening. And TikTok was not banned, and therefore nothing ever happened. And the status quo was maintained. Also, of course, the TikTok situation is not really about what is being said on TikTok, although that is part of it, of course. It is part of it. But it's not solely that. It is mostly to bring TikTok into the US security state so that they, you know, they control that data, they control that. And not the Chinese. That's what it's really about. National security question. So, I mean, part of Trump's kind of grace period is for TikTok to find an American buyer. A lot of people said Jeff Bezos is the only big tech billionaire who doesn't have his own social media platform. So maybe they'll give it Jeff. Who knows? But it's going to end up with one of them owning it, basically, as part of the new architecture, because it can't have the Chinese, because it's an intelligent asset. It's an intelligence asset, and this is a security asset. Anybody who thinks that the regime just let Elon, quote unquote, they just let Elon Musk buy Twitter, and this was a massive blow to them. I mean, come off it. He is one of the biggest contractors to the DoD. And his mate, Peter Thiel, is critical to American defensive infrastructure and cyber defense. They don't just, like, the American government just doesn't let critical bits of infrastructure go to some random bloke. I mean, I think it was Semyagog who talked about the deep state and the deeper state. I think that theory is looking pretty tight right now. Pretty good theory, Oliver. So, yeah, I would say Semyagog called that one correctly when it came to the PayPal mafia. TP says, Trump, someone's coming to save you. Reality, no one's coming to save you. Which motivates you more? I mean, I think it's easier for people to believe that someone's coming to save you. And I think it lets everybody relax and go back to grilling, which is ultimately what's going to happen. Most people will go back to grilling unless there's a lot of unless the regime tried to do what they did before, which is to block and gum up what Trump is trying to do. Right. I mean, I think some of the more bombastic things will be struck down, as I talked about earlier on. But that doesn't mean that some part of his agenda won't get done. It probably will be. But don't forget, it needs to get done in order to shore up the system. You know, the competency crisis is real. DEI was shit. You know, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. So the system needs to be fixed, and Trump is a good pretext to do that. Also, let's not forget that the changing of a president gives the American state, if you want to put it that way, or gives the American system an ability to, it's like a ready-made excuse to do what needs to be done all the time. If you think about it, it's like, well, we can't really justify it under this pretext or this pretext, but we can under this pretext. And it will be exactly the same people do it, like actually implementing those things, as who was opposing him and calling him Hitler 4 years ago. Once you zoom out a little bit and see them less like, how do we get from A to B? You know, like booking a, like I've talked about before, like booking pro wrestling card or something. You think, well, all right, well, maybe we can turn Hogan heel. That gets us out of that hole, etc. And there are lots of things that they can do. If you see these as kind of characters in a play, if you want, or a TV soap opera, that can also justify changes of course, right? For example, the way the tech bros are parading around as a stable and as prominent as they have been, and Musk as the kind of Trump sidekick and so on. Well, just like Vivek Ramaswamy was kind of, you know, do you remember Shawn Michaels when he kicked Marty Jannetty through the bloody glass? Get out, you lose. Get out, Jannetty. I'm Shawn Michaels now, you know. You don't think that the characters can just turn on each other? They can turn on each other easily. And Musk can go on a heel run. We've already seen a little sneak preview, didn't we, of a Musk heel run already. So all of these things are possible down the line. Everything's possible in Trump world because it's like an entertainment TV show. And when you change those variables, now the board looks different. And now you can get away with, oh, well, the Doge thing, that didn't work out because Elon Musk is a twat. Oh, so we're not going to do all of that massively reducing of the state business that we all promised because, oh, guess what? I hate Elon Musk now. Oh, well, there we are then. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that there's many, many different ways out for the system if it doesn't really want to do any of these things. You can just present it and you'll lap it up in the same way that you lapped up. Oh, Mark Zuckerberg worked out and now he's, because of his T levels, now he's based on red pill and wearing a red cap. Fucking, I love Zuckerberg now. It's just as easy as that. And you'll lap it up every step of the way. So let's carry on. Chris Primer says, Billy G had a conversation with the Donald a few days ago regarding vaccines and public health. I forget the quote, but he was really pleased with Trump. Who's Billy G? Who's Billy G? Ladies and gentlemen, gimmick change for Mark Zuckerberg. As I pointed out before, in 2015, Mark Zuckerberg did hardcore training, hardcore training he did in 2015. They even posted his daily regimen online, the sit-ups and the weights and the press-ups that he was doing and the endurance training that he was doing in 2015. Didn't stop Zuck being a shit-lib for the next 8 years back then. So what changed? Bill Gates. Sorry. I was kind of, because I was thinking of pro wrestling. I was like, Billy Graham? No, Billy Graham died. Let's carry on. A couple more on entropy, and then we are going to have to hit the super thanks, I think. Coney says, I thought on Cringe Walker's long article. I thought Cringe Walker's long article was good. I think he's possibly a little bit optimistic in places, but we will see. I mean, we don't know. And Cringe Walker is there on the ground in New York. I'm not, don't forget. So there's maybe a few things that he can see or feel that I can't, you know, in those circles. Maybe what you're saying is true. I would be surprised if it plays, I mean, especially when it comes to Israel, if it plays out in the way he said. But we'll see. Stranger things have happened. One of the very irrational things I cannot get out of my head when it comes to Israel is the 80-year thing that people talk about. That, you know, no state has lasted longer than 80 years. Well, that is coming. And there's really weird things that I can't, that just defy any logic, right? For example, what's stopping them building that third temple of theirs? Just get on and build it. Like what? Like they've got the site, they've got the ground. Just, it would take them a week to knock up a temple, but no, they haven't done it. Weird. Why not? What's stopping them? And this 80 years thing, like, how can I put this? Like, if you'd imagine, like, 5 years ago, that the idea of Israel in the eyes of most of the world becoming this like pariah state, you know, gone on this genocidal mission and killed thousands of people, etc. If you'd like, nobody saw that coming. Nobody thought, oh, well, yeah, in 5 years' time, Israel's just going to go mental for a year and burn tons of its bridges. Nobody saw that coming, or at least I didn't. At least I didn't read anybody who saw it coming. You can go back 5 years, see if anybody was talking about that. I don't think they were. So it's like weird that that happened just on the cusp of, you know, don't forget the Abraham Accords were naturalizing and normalizing Israeli relations with all of its neighbors. And then all of that happened. It's weird, isn't it? And I can't explain it. It's just like prophecy or something. I don't know. Mystical forces. But so there's that. You know, maybe it'll just be nothing. Maybe it's all mumbo jumbo. But I don't know when that 80-year milestone is. I think it's coming up in 2028, isn't it? So, yeah. Let's carry on. Ethan Monster says, Trump doesn't want a tariff, but Canada. I think Trump is just threatening Canada to play ball. Otherwise, he's going to slap tariffs on them, and he knows that that would wreck their economy. So it's like a leverage. Thing is with Trump, and I'll talk about this on the video tomorrow, you just have to look at what happens, not what he says. What he actually does is all, because so often it's just this real estate negotiation out of the deal tactic that he's doing. So what he says and what he actually does are two different things. He's just setting out a kind of extreme position. If you don't do this, then this will happen. Right? It's the start of a negotiation. It's not necessarily what he's going to do. And again, we learned all of this watching the first Trump presidency, didn't we? So let's carry on. Okay, I think that is it in terms of super chats and so on. I will now hit super thanks. of which there were quite a few. 69% of people think that the Senate will not vote to change birthright citizenship. 31% of people think they will. 31% of people watching this stream think the Senate consisting of all of these douchebags that we all know and love are going to vote to change birthright citizenship because of a vibe shift. Well, I tell you what, if that happens, you know that hat I was wearing? Do you remember that hat I wore in a few of those shorts? Maybe I'll eat that on camera if the Senate changed to vote to change birthright citizenship law. I mean, what the hell's wrong with you? 31% of you. Are you in fucking Dreamworld or what? Okay, now. What the hell's wrong with you? Right. Let's have a look at the super thanks. There's quite a few super thanks. From Super Thanks, there we go. Okay. Last week's Office Hours had rave reviews for some reason. People really enjoyed that one. Yeah, it was not a bad show. Trying to figure out when the last super chat thanks was I done. I did. I think it is. Well, it was 7 days ago I did the. I think it's here. Alex says, thoughts on Giger's bronze presidential campaign in Poland? I'm afraid I have no idea on what's happening in Polish politics. I know Donald Tusk is still there, isn't he? Alphonse Rides Again says, integration is neither desirable nor possible. Look at Northern Ireland. Look at French in Canada. Look at the Chinese in Southeast Asia. People can remain self-contained minorities for centuries because they want to. Exactly. And in those cases, look how many times the Chinese were just kicked out of various different countries in history because they stayed as an ethnic enclave. Novitrix says, a blessing that the full crew is together, A.A. Horace and Roberts, bound to be a perfect episode. Anytime Horace is missing, I'm upset, and now I'm very pleased. Well, Horace will be back tomorrow as we wrap up on Ayn Rand and Alan Greenspan on the Adam Curtis review. Oz Owen says, fantastic stream. Congratulations on finishing the course. Love. Well, thanks, Owen. Buy it now. Buy Foundations of Shakespeare now. Dissident Knight on the big announcement of the two channels, the AA Culture and the AA Gaming. What does this mean for channel membership and paywall stuff? I mean, stuff on all the culture stuff now is behind the paywall here, but there it will be, you know, free to air, so to speak. So that's one thing. There are actually channel memberships on both of those channels. On the AA Culture one, you'll find tons of old Sly Sneak content and AA Radio and the Ashes of Civilization reviews that I did with Dee and stuff like that. Like all the stuff I did on that channel, hidden on there. On the AA Gaming, there's a few little Easter eggs on there as well. They are for those channel memberships are for like super deep lore, hidden stuff, etc. So only for the very dedicated, but you can join them if you want to. Some people are members of those channels, and I don't know what, like, if they go back and what, like, you know, Clockwork Orange, watch Sly Sneak content and stuff like that. Franes Frain Ustik 988 says, AA, while I am inclined to agree with you on the issue of integration, what do you make of German Americans? These disappeared around World War One, so they are gone. Are they gone, or are they pulling the mightiest Anglo face imaginable? In my experience, Americans who come from a German background are pretty aware of that German background. So they just they didn't disappear, and there was some pretty big incentives for them to kind of wear Anglo face, as you put it. But yeah, my experience, they know if they're German. You know, it's only like a couple of generations ago, so they're not going to forget it that quickly, are they? Foundations of, I mean, one of the people who interests me a lot is that Richard Barris guy, the polling guy. Not really for his MAGA-tardery and all of that sort of stuff, but for the way he's able to zoom in on very specific areas of the American map and, like, literally just predict how they're going to vote due to their specific ethnic background, where he says, like, oh, this area here, they're Scandis, or this area here, they're Germans. And that's always been fascinating to me, how Barris can do that. And there must be some predictive power and truth in it, otherwise he wouldn't be able to do that, would he? So DB's 1836 says, this is on the Foundations of Shakespeare launch stream from last week. Thanks, but could you please give an answer on your opinion on Andrew Scott's Richard III in particular? I have no brother, like I'm no brother. Let Hal make crooked my mind to answer it. Andrew Scott's Richard III. I'm not... Which one is that, then? I don't think I have seen Andrew Scott's, which is that from the Hollow Crown version, is it? That's from the Hollow Crown. I quite like that Hollow Crown series overall, but I've never watched the Richard III. I like the Richard II a fair bit. Don't like the Henry IV as much. But I never watched the second tetralogy, the Henry VI plays, or Richard III in the Hollow Crown. Maybe I should at some point. Home Jack says, in reference to your closing thoughts, this is on why the system no longer needs to censor social media. In reference to your closing thoughts, I understand your disconnect with the online right and your cynicism. Is it cynicism, though, or is it just saying what is, not what ought to be? Is it just realism? Is it cynicism? I mean, is it really cynical to say, I'm not sure that Mark Zuckerberg is really just kind of based overnight? Maybe there's something else motivating Zuckerberg. Is that cynicism? Or is it just, like, you know, basic common sense? You know, I don't like being asked to buy into bullshit. Is this not muted continence, though? So many of us young men are desperate to preserve our country, says Homeland Jack. Is the energy better spent to be aware of the situation, but to still have virtuous optimism against it? Not to the degree where we deny it. The Trump deportations are still coming. Get in the crystal. But to where we reasonably back ourselves to overcome the slop and then to overcome our national situations. All the great characters on our national and ideological history believed. The Holy King would believe. We all understand that your analysis is value-free. But would you agree that your character is cynical at this time? Sincerely, why choose cynicism over optimism? Well, Homeland Jack, I don't believe that the situation is entirely lost, but I do believe that warmed up Martin Luther King civil rights rhetoric and simply a return to 1960s civil rights liberalism, which is literally the thing that got us here, is not going to be the thing that's going to get you through. That's not even cynicism. That's just like, oh, this thing that didn't work before, yeah, this time it's going to work. This time, though, real liberalism hasn't really been tried. This time, really, it's going to work. It'd be like, why don't we reestablish the Soviet Union? Because that was a great idea. You know, it's not a plan I can get behind, really. So this is the issue. Farage, if he's serving up warmed up Thatcherite kind of Buckleyite bullshit, it's just the same shit that got us here in the first place. This is the problem, Jack. So it's not choosing cynicism over optimism. It's saying, looking at what's being offered up, these things didn't work before, so they're not going to work again. This is what is. Can't talk about what ought to be on YouTube, Jack. Art Dinoism says, thank you, AA. Now that you have taken a new direction, so this is again on why the system no longer needs to censor, you know, within reason. Thank you, AA. Now that you have taken a new direction, will we see more content based on your boomer truth regime idea? The whole idea is very fascinating, and it seems like a genuinely original idea. First of all, I'm not sure how original it is, because the situation just describes exactly what has been. So there have been other people who have articulated aspects of it in the past. I have just kind of given it kind of fancy label and borrowed a few ideas from the likes of Foucault and so on to tie it up in a neat bow. But there have been many people who've talked about this in the past, of course. So there's that. There's no such thing as novelty, right? There's only just rediscovering truth. So the idea of being original is overrated, in my opinion. And it's often a piss-poor critique as well, to say, oh, well, there's nothing new here. Often you need to rediscover some eternal truth, right? So there's that. I hope that Boomer Truth takes an absolute kicking in the next couple of years. I noticed that Douglas McGregor was talking about who started the Second World War, for example. Martin Maid has started his new World War II series. So it's possible that Boomer Truth is dying in front of our eyes, and that Trump and the MAGA movement is the last dying gasp of Boomer Truth, because Trump's inauguration speech was pure. It was like Boomer Truth in its purest form, to the extent where when I actually come to write this book, I may start it by selecting quotes from Trump, picking out different things that Trump said during that speech, putting them all together as a kind of credo for Boomer Truth, because that's what it was. My trouble is Art Dinoism, that as long as Starmer is the Prime Minister, it's kind of tricky to do anything. So kind of what I hope to do is, when I come to finally finish that book, I hope the Boomer Truth is already kind of like over, and it's a eulogy. I've written a few chapters of it, and I could have something coming out soon in a well-known conservative magazine, American one, where I share a bit of Boomer Truth regime. So that should be out soon. See Kevin Crow on the big announcement video says, where can I download Shakespeare and Contemporary Theory 1 to 33? I can only find 34, 35, and 36. As far as I know, Kevin, nowhere. They don't exist. They're not on the internet anymore. If anybody downloaded them and archived them, stick them back up or send them to me and I'll put them back up. But I don't have the files, and the website where it was hosted is no longer there. So it's currently they're not available, unfortunately. Zuzuko says the Starmer bombshell around the Southport attacker was really a nothing burger. Wrong uns are always known to security services before they act. I cannot see it hurting Starmer too much in the long term. Thoughts? Well, it's really up to the Tories and Reform and the media to make it. It's a nothing burger until it's not. And that's the same with every single story ever, right? I mean, Partygate, an absolute bullshit story that was a nothing burger, right? But the media decided that Partygate was going to be the thing to bring down Boris Johnson. Do you remember? Partygate. If it's time for Starmer to go, it could be the thing to bring him down. Let's not forget, the system can bring down any prime minister they want at any time. Will it be this one? I don't know. It's really up to a few key decision makers in the British media. Like I said, if the story migrates from Telegraph to BBC, Sky, Times, it's over for Starmer. Will it? If it doesn't, you can ride it out indefinitely. This is the thing. Starmer will remain as long as the system wants him there. Soon as the system doesn't want him there, he'll be gone. And the mechanism of getting rid of him won't matter, really. They'll just find a way. Esoteric Elderman says, thanks for all your content, AA. This is on why the system no longer needs to censor social media. I really appreciate it. I have been thinking recently about the quote-unquote dissident right, which doesn't exist. Conversations I've had in the space and ways in which people are brought back onto the reservation. I wonder the extent to which we're all just this variant of dissident, and that there are other variants with other subcultures, and there have been many before who thought they were onto something, that they really knew how power was structured and why. But eventually they were contained, defeated, and they ceased to be relevant. Some individuals maybe stayed off the reservation and are still around to initiate newbies years later when a new movement is born. Most, however, return to read The Guardian if they were leftists, or The Spectator if they were on the right. So years from now, most people in our space will have successfully been contained, and they'll be reading The Spectator, edited by Owen Jones, because the left left him, whilst a few oddities will still be floating around somewhere. I don't think you'll need to wait a few years. I think it's already happened for loads of people, especially in America. I mean, they're basically Tory boys already. It's already happened. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know how many cycles and go-rounds there have been. There are people who've been around since the 70s who were still around. Proper dissidents I'm talking about. I don't even like the label anymore. I've said sensible centre, right? But I still think that at this time, you just have to, I hate to say it, ride the tiger for the time being, because we're just not, nobody's in a position to do anything at this time. There's no actual opportunity there. There are lots of people who think there are opportunities, but they will find that they come up against a brick wall, because you're still dealing with the likes of Farage and Trump and all these sorts of people. It's not going to happen with those, with that set, with boomers, it's just not going to happen. So, I mean, what's the next best thing, right? Maybe everybody's moved on to the next best thing, which is, well, what can you get out of them, though? What can you push them to get something out of them? The trouble is that I believe people have the causality the wrong way around a lot of the time, right? They believe that using social media clout, that you can kind of use Elon Musk, right? Or use Trump or use Farage, right? That's the belief. Push them to do things that you want. The truth is they use you. That's the truth of it. They use you. That's, I mean, power's top down. It's never bottom up. They use you, not the other way around. Simple as that. So until there's such a time where those sorts of people are massively more willing to go to places that they're not at the moment, you just have to ride the tiger. Because actually, the truth is that they're a bigger threat to genuine kind of right, if you want to put it that way, than the leftists are. They're a bigger threat. This is something that people have pointed out before. The big crackdown happened under Trump. Listen to Devon. He's been there. He knows about it. He's documented it. He's pointed it out in tedious detail. Or listen to all those other people who are, you know, survivors of 2016-17 era. Think how many of them have a positive view of Trump. Maybe in 5 years' time, all the people who are cheerleading now will be in the position that they are. Who knows? We'll see. Esoteric Elderman says, my Romanian partner has acknowledged that having children with me in England means her lineage will gradually lose its... This is on the is immigration really better than multiculturalism to society video. My Romanian partner has acknowledged that having children with me in England means her lineage will gradually lose its connection to her homeland, which she finds sad. While our children will likely learn Romanian and visit, it won't be their home, and future generations will lose that link entirely. I've lived in Europe, and the cultural gap between us isn't as stark as, say, with a Muslim Pakistani family, but it exists. She knows she'll never be fully English, and she dislikes when her Romanian friends adopt forced posh accents or exaggerated enthusiasm for English cuisine. Before meeting me, she hadn't dated an Englishman and had more than one English friend, despite living here for 14 years. I agree that integration takes at least two generations and involves intermarriage. But then, otherness could be reduced to, my grandmother was from X, but I've never been. But this is still a death of sorts. It still represents a loss for that grandmother. And given that Britain's current situation, how realistic is that dynamic at scale? Well, this is the problem, Esoteric Alderman. Because that situation that you describe does have a tragedy to it. It does have one person at least having their identity destroyed, okay, in the intermarriage. So that is definitely something that happened. But it's non-scalable, isn't it? Because it relies on all of those people making the choice that your wife did, for example, right, to marry in as opposed to marry out, if that makes any sense. Or to, you know what I'm talking about. It relies on them marrying a native and deciding to make that choice. For every one person who does that, there could be someone else who chooses the opposite, right? They and in which case, you've doubled up the problem. Now, instead of one Romanian, you've got four to deal with, for example. Now, obviously, less visible when it's Romanians because they're white, but it's still the same principle. So I do think it's basically it's a non-goer, isn't it, at scale. It can only work where it's just like one or two people. Can't work if you've got like millions of them. This is why I keep on saying the ethnic enclave is actually superior as a something, because it can be dealt with at some point in the future if they remain distinct. Now, that's not to say that the people who've made that choice, right? I mean, okay, they've made their choice. you guys have made your choice. And it is where it is. Nothing you can do about that. I'm just saying that for society at large, it's suboptimal because it cannot scale. Or if it does scale, it basically ends up with that erosion of identity happening to everybody all at the same time. In which case, you're on the melting pot idea and you become like America, for example. And you have to come up with some new idea of what being quote unquote British means. Okay, and I think that may be it. Oh, there's a few. Funtamari says, the official stance of this Anon is to agree with AA on all issues. I, for one, am quite happy about the Euro-American schism on the online right. I mean, you say it's a schism. Is there one? I mean, maybe not. I'm not part of the online right, don't forget. I'm not part of it at all. I prefer to just be on my own, to be honest. So if somebody disagrees with me, it's not a schism, right? It's not because I'm just talking for me. I don't care what anybody else says, frankly. Martin Niederman says, seen Murray's article about MLK being a Zionist? No, but I believe it. I mean, I know Rosa Parks was one. Rosa Parks was, kind of a little bit unusual in black activist circles that both Rosa Parks and MLK were both Zionists, unlike the vast majority of black activists at that time. Spastical Statistica says, you said states only survive 80 years. Boomer Truth turns 80 this year. 1945 to 2025. Interesting. Now, I didn't say, Spasticus, to be clear, I did not say that states only last for 80 years. I said that there's there's something about an Israeli state has never lasted longer than 80 years in history. Some like prophecy or curse or something. I don't know. I'm not like Adam Green or one of these people who like pays attention to mumbo jumbo. I haven't got a head for it, right? But there's some weird thing specifically about Israel. Of course, many states have long lasted longer than 80 years. The American state, the British state, you know, France, arguably. lots of states have lasted longer than that. It's a specific thing to Israel. Okay, let's carry on. Although I will say about 2025, I'm pretty sure that that book, The Fourth Turning, has got 2025 as the cutoff year. Or like, it's meant to be. I think they've got an 80-year cycle. Or their name, Strauss and Howe. The Fourth Turning theory is the 80-year cycle. Okay. all right. I think that'll do. I don't know about the Khazar. I mean, I've heard a lot of people discrediting so-called Khazar theory, so I don't really know about that. All right. I think that is it, unless I'm mistaken. Nice, lean, two-hour show. Let's get out of here, shall we? All right. So long, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow with my video about how to survive the noise of the Trump era and the Adam Curtis review with Simon Roberts and Horace. I'll catch you all then. Now get out.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.